Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending April 15th, 2018. And it's been an interesting week. Handful of stories I'm going to be talking about. There's some strangeness out there, so let's just get started with the first story. This has to do with the Titanic and its various conspiracies. It was an article in Business Insider, for of all places, and the story lists. It's one of those. Looks more like a filler piece for these guys, but it's like there's the five conspiracies that associated with the sinking of the Titanic. If you're not familiar with this, the Titanic sank on April 15th, 1912, a bit over 100 years ago, killing over 1,500 people, and it has generated a small handful of conspiracies. The first conspiracy, that the Titanic was marked by a controversial secret message. This has to do with the number that was assigned to the ship when it was laid down. I don't know if this was a project number. It doesn't really say, but there was the whole number was, according to the conspiracy, 390904. The reason, if you flip 390904 upside down, it kind of looks like no Pope. And as far as the theory goes, that the Catholic workers saw this as blasphemy and worried that harm would come to the ship. But there's a handful of problems here. First of all, the ship was actually numbered 401. Number two, there were no Catholic workers at that particular shipyard. This was put down in Ireland, and apparently in 1886, the shipyard workers forced all the Catholics off the property, off the job. So, again, this is one of those where totally fabricated. There's no basis in anything. There's always been an animosity between the Protestant and the Catholics. Mostly, you'll see that within some of the evangelical, the alt-right evangelical mix has always had serious animosity toward Catholics. These were mostly the Protestant there's always been a. Apparently, going back to the Protestant Reformation and the Roman Catholic Church, when after Luther had hanged his treatise on the walls of the church, the excommunications, the various inquisitors going after Protestants, and the various doctrines within the Christian Church of Europe. The Western Christianity, the idea that, there was a separation of these two groups. And of course, the Protestants seems to hold a grudge, especially here in the United States. You will actually, if you dig more into the Ku Klux Klan, they were not just anti-black, they were also anti-Jew and anti-Catholic. You'll actually, if you dig even further, that promoted the prohibition of alcohol were anti-Catholic because of the Catholics' love of alcohol, and that was a plus for them to try to get rid of the consumption of alcohol. Number two, of course, the Titanic was doomed by a mummy curse. Really, the real problem was after it hit the iceberg, that the ship lacked lifeboats, and of course the human error factor. But of course, the idea that the Let's see, according to the legend, an ancient mummified princess left a trail of death and devastation across England in the early 1900s after being excavated and removed from Egypt. The once beleaguered community of British art collectors and museum professors had enough of the haunted mummy, and American archaeologists swooped in to purchase it. Ignoring this, ignoring his colleague's warning, he headed back to New York with his new acquisition. The unfortunate scholar mummy never made it to the States because, lo and behold, the ship that they sailed off on was the HMS Titanic. This tale is popular, but completely fictional. There was a Snopes debunk, noting that even disregarding this tale's fantastical elements, there was no mummy on board the ship. But, of course, this hasn't stopped the British Museum's so-called unlucky mummy from getting blamed for the ship sinking. And, of course, then we have one with the ship was attacked by a U-boat. The Titanic is known to be one of the largest peacetime maritime disasters in history. The tragedy missed the onset of the First World War by 2 years. But some still speculate a German U-boat was really behind the ship sinking. Apparently, this particular conspiracy, a German U-boat torpedoes the British ocean liner off the coast of Ireland, killing 1,198 people. Now, this one, apparently the story, apparently that it was sunk, this one really, they're in this particular story, they're trying to make it sound like it's plausible, but the problem was that the ship, where it sunk, it was sunk pretty much almost due south of Greenland, well past Iceland and as far, you know, quite a distance from Ireland. German U-boats at the time rarely worked that far into the Atlantic. They were not as the diesel tanks, the amount of fuel they can carry was much less than what we would eventually see in the Second World War. So most of the time, the German U-boats of World War One would actually operate fairly close to land or just outside of visual contact. So the distances that a U-boat getting that far out and then putting a torpedo into the Titanic is physically impossible, unless, of course, the U-boat had a support ship involved. So the problem would be you've got a ship, a U-boat full of roughly about 10 to 20 people, a support ship that would have a complement of about 100, and all these, so 120 sailors for the past, of course it would be close to 100 years, had been able to keep this secret. I find this very dubious at best. And of course, the conspiracy that the Titanic never sank. Well, the idea, the story here was that the Olympic, the Titanic's older and nearly identical sister ship, was actually the one that went down near Newfoundland. But what would have been the point of switching the ships in secret? In the book, The Titanic, the Ship That Never Sank, researcher Robin Gardner wrote that the whole disaster was the result of an insurance scam by the International Mercantile Marine Company, which owned the White Star Line. The Olympic and the Titanic were both White Star Line vessels. And according to Gardner's theory, the trouble started when the Olympic crashed into a warship in 1911, and it was blamed for the accident in an ensuing inquiry. As a result, White Star Line, an IMM subsidiary, was unable to receive an insurance payout. Gardner theorized that the line fixed up the Olympic as best it could and masqueraded it as the Titanic. By allowing the wounded ship to continue on under an assumed name, the company could collect the insurance payment when it sunk. The alleged intent wasn't to kill anyone on board. If the plan had gone off without a hitch, the ship would have sunk slowly and close to another ship that could subsequently rescue the crew and passengers. So what went wrong? According to Gardner, the liner ended up accidentally running over a darkened rescue ship, which passenger and crew would later mistake for an iceberg. Okay. That's it. And of course, we got JP Morgan was behind the whole thing. This rumor has everything you would want in a conspiracy theory. A man powerful and wealthy enough to play God, overcomplicates methods of assassination, a mass casualty event, the Federal Reserve Bank. The idea was that that J.P. Morgan intentionally had the boat sunk in order to pave way for the establishment of the Federal Reserve Bank in the U.S. The bank creation was reportedly opposed by millionaire John Jacob Astor, mining magnate Benjamin Guggenheim, and Macy's co-owner Isidore Strauss. These three wealthy men did indeed lose their lives when the Titanic sank. Astor was last seen clinging to the side of a raft. Guggenheim, whose body was never recovered, reportedly put a rose in his buttonhole and quipped, "We've dressed up our best and prepared to go down like gentlemen." And Strauss died alongside his wife, Ada, who refused to leave her husband's side as the ship sank. But Morgan dodged death and disaster when he canceled his trip in the 11th hour. The powerful financier owned the IMM, which in turn owned White Star Line. As such, he had his own personal suite, promenade deck, and specially designed bath on the ship. Morgan was reportedly supposed to be on the ship, but decided to skip the maiden voyage at the last second. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported that he decided to linger in Europe in order to buy tapestries for his art collection. And of course, what reason would Morgan have to allegedly sink his own ship? Conspiracy theorists say that in interest of clearing away opposition to the Federal Reserve Bank, Morgan somehow manipulated all his rivals to sail on the maiden voyage so that he could sink it. I think this almost debunks itself. Trying to get a bunch of people that you don't like on a boat or have issues with, and getting them on a boat just to sink it, and hopefully that they die in the sinking. That in itself is enough to debunk this thing. But of course, see, in the United States, there's always been opposition to a Federal Reserve, a central bank. So this is one of those stories that seems to get attached to, of course, the conspiracy of creating the Federal Reserve. Of course, the Federal Reserve in itself is a conspiracy, that it is somehow part of a Jewish, it links into the Jewish conspiracies and the control of currency, et cetera, like the United States in 1913 was a major financial power. It wasn't. England was the main power at the time, and being a growing industrial nation, needed a way to control inflation, all the issues there, and of course, maintaining a money supply within a large country. So, for my next story, this is one of the reasons I try to do this show. I want to try to debunk as much as I can. I try to at least point out how ridiculous these conspiracies are, because sometimes people take these too seriously, and even to a point where they go from just believing and trying to convince people, hey, there's something wrong going on here, where they go take it a step further and begin to harass, and taking it to such levels where literally it's just amazing, because Vice Motherboard, I'm not too sure about this website. It seems somewhat legitimate. It looks like it does seem to be a little bit left-leaning, but certainly they have put on stories that have raised some interest. But Vice has put out a video on many of these who believe that these recent school shootings are hoaxes, that there's these crisis actors brought in to play various roles, you know, the dead, you know, people being shot, the police, apparently in this particular case, everybody's involved. The police are crisis actors. The victims, the shooting victims are crisis actors. The shooter is a crisis actor. The school administration, the communities that this happens are crisis actors, all being paid by the government to create a false narrative so that the government can take your guns away. And in this video, in this report, a handful of they actually follow a handful of these hoaxers or people who believe in the hoax, and actually filmed one of them getting arrested. And that was, of course, this was a this happened. I didn't even realize this was going on because this was happening in February, March. And of course, there was also in this video, they also interviewed some of the victims of these people who are being, or the harassees, the people who are being harassed. And basically, many of these people, and the, these are not, you can find these people if you look, look up the, those who are doing the harassing. They go by the name, one goes by the name of Sidethorn. This is, Robert Usury, who is a, apparently, he has been harassing the Southern Texas shooting victims. He's actually gone up to people, and he's actually one who was a minister at the particular this particular church, and called him a liar, called him a demon, even used much more harsher language, along with Conspiracy Granny, who is she goes by the name either Jody Mann, M-A-N-N, or Jody Marie. And these two were harassing this person at Sutherland. And in this, in the video that I saw that I had at, that was part of the article, was actually both of them got arrested for, apparently, trespassing, destruction of property, resisting arrest, and, for, Sidethorn was also for terrorism. But they also interviewed two other people who believe in that these were all fake events. Guy Tony Mead, Wolfgang Halbig, and Eric Pearson. And these five have been between creating videos, actually being interviewed by some of these, I guess, lesser known, I guess, maybe some podcasts or other. They don't seem to be mainstream. There's must be. I haven't really looked that deep into the shows that they've been popping up on. So, but apparently these are some of the main, at least the more vocal antagonists, and they have either themselves or their followers have been harassing the Sandy Hook victims, the Parkland shooting, the Sutherland shooting, and in many cases, there's, and mostly it seems like, at least as far as Sidethorn and Conspiracy Granny, they seem to be mostly working on the Texas, in Texas, on the Sutherland, or at least they gain notoriety. Look, I haven't really delved that deep into their website, but they do seem to focus mostly on the Sutherland shooting. Tony Mead, who is, he's a Parkland. Yeah, he was the Parkland, one of the Parkland harassers who have basically have been harassing locals there. Halbig and Pearson seems to be more equal opportunity. They've been harassing Sandy Hook, Parkland, many of the other to a lesser degree. And of course, the Vice video points the finger directly at Alex Jones. All of these have been followers of Alex Jones. And again, at least from my research, Alex Jones isn't he's more the mouthpiece of this, because there was actually, I think I've reported on it before, James Tracy, who has been probably the originator of much of this idea of crisis actors and so on. Tracy has, if you remember from previous shows, Tracy has lost recently lost tenure at his the college he taught at, where he teaches media and does a particular class on the problems of the media, when a story breaks, how the story evolves, and looking at that, there'd be the initial alert, there's been a shooting at a school, the story may say something like, we believe at least 10 or 20 or 30 people are injured, there might be a single shooter, or maybe multiple shooters are believed. A lot of the initial information that's been collected by the various reporters. But as the story evolves, then it may go from multiple shooters down to a single shooter. And the death toll may be much lower, 5 to 6 dead. And of course, the 30 may become 20 injured, whatever the, eventually the numbers get fixed, and ultimately within an hour or two, the true story kind of congeals. And since stories like this get almost minute by minute coverage, the story will evolve fairly quickly into what would be considered the official story. Of course, Tracy then looked at that as just the what does happen and how to find out ways to, and trying to teach ways of how to deal with those problems, with those initial reports and so on. But Tracy, the non-academic, has proposed the idea of that these were all staged events. And of course, Alex Jones picks up on this, and now everything's a false flag. It's a, these are all crisis actors playing a role to get the government in to take our guns away. So this particular story delved into, it's something actually worth watching. And I'm going to try to put a link in my show notes to get to this video, because this is really, you can actually see these people in action, how totally oblivious to anything. They don't see themselves doing anything wrong. They feel they're in the right, and literally to a point where you're not going to change their minds. These are, I don't know if it's a, if it's, if one might call these psychopaths or sociopaths, but certainly these are people who have no empathy whatsoever for human life, for any empathy toward fellow humans, that they're quite adamant and horribly, especially Sidethorn and Conspiracy Granny. Watching these two, it's really revealing, and definitely have to check that out. So I'll make sure I get that in the show notes, and we'll move on to the next story. This is a story from Breitbart. CNN Brian Stelter fabricates a conspiracy theory about Fox News controlling Trump. And this is coming from Breitbart. So this story is kind of dubious. So I had to do some extra research on this. Breitbart is not known for being accurate. And the story is, I would like to give Trump some credit. I don't think Donald Trump necessarily thinks things through. And it may be possible that if he sees something on Fox News, that he will react to that. It's weird. It's kind of weird, because the fact of the matter is Stelter, he does create a conspiracy. I mean, actually, it's kind of right, because he put together a timeline of Trump going from when he finds out about this march of immigrants toward the border, and then ordering National Guard troops. There seems to be almost like Fox reports this march, and then Trump tweets out, he does a tweet about, we got to do something at the border. Fox does another story about how they're, that these were Central American immigrants on their way to the U.S. border. I was trying to find out if this was really a true statement, or was this more like a protest, or what, you know, something other than a whole bunch of immigrants trying to find, are marching their way to the United States to cross the border. And then you kind of see this progression of then eventually Trump ordering the National Guard to the border. So he again, this is where it becomes where I think I'm having trouble with the information, because first of all, I don't know if this is really a mass march to the border. Fox News makes it looks like there's thousands of these people heading toward the border. In other cases, it looks like maybe 20 or 30 people. I don't know what's true or not. It's hard to say. And even if this, or this could be just looking at what they don't show a whole lot of context of what these people are doing that are supposedly heading toward our border. So I don't know if this is even anything real. It's just something fabricated by Fox. If it is true, then yeah, I think getting extra guards to the border might not be a bad idea. But the idea that this whole thing is at least the CNN reporter talking about this as a timeline kind of raises a red flag for me that this may be someone creating a conspiracy. But of course, this is definitely not fabricated. This is definitely this timeline is based on real events, but not necessarily that it's physically real, but it's mentally real within the world of Fox News. So this is a story I want to try to dig into some more, get some more information, because it is just so ridiculous. It's almost like if I don't do anything about it and just call it what I think it is, I think it's a bunch of children playing you're a liar, I'm a liar, you know, whatever this idea, you know, again, the, I don't know. I can't even begin to think what I would. This is one of those childish things that seem to believe that everything is, this is important. This is something, and it probably is important to Breitbart listeners. But quite frankly, I think this is one of those, you know, again, this childish, I don't know what'd be a good explanation or, I don't know what kind of adjective I could add to that, but certainly this is not a story as far as I'm concerned. It's just more like, playground tough talk. And of course, this wouldn't be a conspiracy guide to conspiracy without a story about Alex Jones. And according, again, this was coming out of the Raw story, and it had to do with a video of Alex Jones goes berserk and molests the American flag when he asked about his links to Russia. Apparently, Alex Jones was spending some time. I guess he got invited to the National Press Association luncheon to speak to that group. And I guess I don't know if it was after or before this, had a press conference with Roger Stone, and I don't know who the second person was. Apparently, this was another writer for InfoWars. And a reporter's asking Roger Stone about his connections to Russia, and Alex Jones behaving, he was behaving quite strange, but it's hard to say what strange is for Alex Jones. This may be a normal level of strange. If you've never met or never heard of Alex Jones and you saw this guy on a video, yes, you would say he was crazy, but he was behaving kind of like he was feeling real good. Maybe some alcohol might have been involved. I can't say for certainty, but he was certainly very animated. He'd throw his arms around. He was back and forth, stealing the mic, interrupting, kind of basic what his stick is. And probably this is part of his, of course, maybe this is the act. But then the reporter was asking even Alex the question about his ties to Russia TV, Sputnik, many of these, the Russian news outlets. Alex Jones has been on RT, Russia TV, quite a bit, and asking how much is he paid and so on. And what was funny was that, as of course, they didn't want to answer the question. They kind of answered it with a question, answered the question with a question type stuff. You know, asking him back, how much do you get paid by Russia TV, et cetera, those type of things. They never really answered the question, except one says, you know, one made the reference, I believe it was Jones, who said that he does get paid, but it was kind of a brief, it was like, but I, you know, it was hard to say if he was saying it as, yeah, we all get paid by Russian TV. You know, it was like, it was that kind of comment. And then he goes, kept going on. And then he does this, he did this, then he goes into this, you know, how much he loves the United States, how he loves George Soros, how he loves, you know, all the, you know, kind of the, you know, again, the jabs at the globalists that he has to do, and then goes up and kisses the American flag. There was no molestation of the flag. So, it was just Jones being weird as usual, but not anything beyond kissing the flag. Of course, that's kind of weird in itself. And I don't know, for some, just kissing the flag is that, a sexual act or a type of molestation. I don't know. So I'm thinking this story, at least the headline to the story is kind of dubious. So, but certainly, again, it's another one you might want to search out. I'm not going to give you a link because it actually links to InfoWars. So, and I don't want to give those links out. And for the final story, actually this popped up, though it happened Friday. I didn't quite catch this until just before the show, so I don't have a whole bunch of details, but U.S. radio host and conspiracy theorist Art Bell is dead at 72. If you ever heard of Art Bell, he operated a radio program, Coast to Coast AM, and was the original creator of Coast to Coast AM, where you can get all sorts of good paranormal, pseudoscience, you name it. It was there. He's probably best known for promoting people like Eric von Daniken and many of the ancient alien people. There's the, of course, Richard Hoagland and his conspiracies about NASA. And of course, pretty much anything he has promoted, chemtrails, he's promoted HARP, he's promoted all these various conspiracies. And he eventually moved on, after having created this show. It's currently run by George Norrie, who, of course, plays a fairly decent role on the Ancient Aliens on History Channel. But Art Bell, he's well known. That's what he's well known for, and he has passed away at 72. He's the person who is promoted, and he's promoted most of the conspiracies you've heard and that I've talked about in one form or another, though. More in light, he was like more of a kinder, gentler conspiracy type. He would bring the people on and basically just interview them, get them to tell what they believe. Now, Art Bell, whether he believes this stuff or not, this is, I would say, in question, but he seemed to be a much more honest in his reporting. George Norrie and the rest has become somewhat dishonest, trying to keep the stories going. Certainly, guys like Alex Jones this is probably the type of show that he may have gotten his ideas from, that there is an interest in the paranormal, the paranormal, the pseudoscience, you name it, UFOs. That was really the most popular part of his show. He didn't really delve into many of the HARP conspiracies, though he did seem to promote it. And of course, fortunately, I guess for him, and that's pretty much everything for the news, except there's one story that I kind of want to talk about a little bit, because there's been a handful of these stories about Amazon's Alexa. If you ask all the story, and there's been so many of these stories where if you ask them about what are chemtrails, and Alexa will tell you that it's chemicals being injected into contrails coming from aircraft, and it's believed to cause whatever. I forget the exact answer Alexa will give you on this. And there's stories about, you know, and everyone kind of chuckling that Alexa is promoting conspiracy theories and so on. And I wasn't sure if this was going to, you know, it really wasn't really much of a story. It's just one of those cutesy, oh, look, our technology, what it's doing to us type of stories, you know, because it was coming up on things like Gizmodo and I think Hackaday, you know, some of these maker sites. But then the Sputnik story about how Alexa is unveiling or has released or has, I think what they call about it. Oh yeah, the conspiracy exposed that, you know, chemtrails are real. You know, coming, and of course, this is coming from Sputnik News, again, a Russian based propaganda outlet, probably responsible for any number of fake stories. And I thought it was kind of interesting and probably somewhat telling to what ends does the Russians will go, or some of the more nefarious elements of Russian media. Now, whether this is a concerted effort or is this just creating a story just to mess with the Americans, I don't know, but it certainly, I thought it was kind of the contrast between the Sputnik story and everyone else was like almost like night and day. You know, I think it was kind of the American, I guess, or, you know, those stories that were popping up on the American side were kind of lighthearted. Ha ha ha. Alexa's a conspiracy theorist, where Sputnik is like, dun dun dun. The conspiracy exposed. Okay. I think I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you later. Good night, everyone.